理课堂听 class.com。
Well, now I can see it, Klaus said, squinting behind his glasses. But I can't believe it. It's going to take the rest of the afternoon to walk all that way. Then we better get started, Violet said, hoisting Sunny up on top of her suitcase. This piece of luggage has wheels, she said to her sister. So you can sit on top of it and I can pull you along.
Thanks,
Sunny said, which meant that's very considerate of you. And the Baudelaires began their long walk towards the hazy black blur on the horizon. Even after the first few steps, the disadvantages of the bus ride seemed like small potatoes. Small potatoes is a phrase which has nothing to do with root vegetables that happen to be tiny in size. Instead, it refers to the change in one's feelings for something when it is compared with something else. If you are walking in the rain, for instance, you might be worried about getting wet. But if you turned the corner and saw a pack of vicious dogs, getting wet would suddenly become small potatoes next to getting chased down an alley and barked at, or possibly eaten. As the Baudelaires began their long journey toward VFD, dead bugs stepped on toes and the possibility of someone leaning on them became small potatoes next to the far more unpleasant things they were encountering. Without anything else on the flat land to blow up against, the wind concentrated its efforts on Violet, a phrase which here means that before long her hair was so wildly tangled that it looked like it had never seen a comb. Because Klaus was standing behind Violet, the wind didn't blow on him much, but without anything else in the empty landscape to cling to, the dust on the ground concentrated its efforts on the middle Baudelaire, and soon he was dusty from head to toe, as if it had been years since he'd had a shower. Perched on top of Violet's luggage, Sunny was out of the way of the dust, but without anything else in the desolate terrain to shine on, the sun concentrated its efforts on her, which meant that she was soon as sunburned as a baby who had spent 6 months at the seashore, instead of a few hours on top of a suitcase. But even as they approached the town, VFD still looked as hazy as it did from far away. As the children drew closer and closer to their new home, they could see a number of buildings of different heights and widths, separated by streets both narrow and wide, and the Baudelaires could even see the tall, skinny shapes of lampposts and flagpoles stretching out toward the sky. But everything they saw, from the tip of the highest building to the curve of the narrowest street, was pitch black, and seemed to be shaking slightly, as if the entire town were painted on a piece of cloth that was trembling in the wind. The buildings were trembling, and the lampposts were trembling, and even the very streets were shaking ever so slightly, and it was like no town the three Baudelaires had ever seen. It was a mystery. But unlike most mysteries, once the children reached the outskirts of VFD and learned what was causing the trembling effect, they did not feel any better to have the mystery solved. The town was covered in crows. Nearly every inch of nearly every object had a large black bird roosting on it, and casting a suspicious eye on the children as they stood at the very edge of the village. There were crows sitting on the roofs of all the buildings, perching on the windowsills and squatting on the steps and on the sidewalks. Crows were covering all of the trees, from the very top branches to the roots poking out of the crow-covered ground, and were gathered in large groups on the streets for crow conversations. Crows were covering the lampposts and flagpoles, and there were crows lying down in the gutters and resting between fence posts. There were even 6 crows crowded together on the sign that read Town Hall, with an arrow leading down a crow-covered street. The crows weren't squawking or cawing, which is what crows often do, or playing the trumpet, which crows practically never do, but the town was far from silent. The air was filled with the sounds the crows made as they moved around. Sometimes one crow would fly from one perch to another, as if it had suddenly become bored roosting on the mailbox and thought it might be more fun to perch on the doorknob of a building. Occasionally several crows would flutter their wings, as if they were stiff from sitting together on a bench and wanted to stretch a little bit. And almost constantly the crows would shift in their places, trying to make themselves as comfortable as they could in such cramped quarters. All this motion explained why the town had looked so shivery in the distance, but it certainly didn't make the Baudelaires feel any better, and they stood together in silence for quite some time, trying to find the courage to walk among all the fluttering black birds.